Have you ever heard of Pilgrim Psalms? Well, that's what we're going to explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently in a series about the Psalms, and we're taking kind of a 30,000-foot view of this impressive collection of works that is known as the Psalms. Today's category that we're going to look at is called Pilgrim Psalms. Let's go right to today's discussion with our special guest, David Renfro, Dr. Bob Wilkin, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to be going through the Psalms with David Renfro. Are you happy about this, Bob?
I am.
Now, today it's weird. What did you guys say? Today we're going to be doing John Wayne Psalms. Is that right?
I think they're called Pilgrim Psalms.
Oh, Pilgrim Psalm. Oh, I get it now.
Hello, Pilgrim.
Hello, Pilgrim.
I have a terrible John Wayne
imitation. So he really had this iconic voice.
He really did.
Didn't he? This kind of this whole demeanor. But a pilgrim psalm. Okay, so tell me about it.
Pilgrim psalms, another name for them, and you'll see this in the title of these psalms. It says a song of ascent.
And ascent that means is going
like,
up?
To ascend. And these songs were sung as people, people from all over Israel had to go to Jerusalem for the festivals. If you lived in the low flatlands of Israel, you essentially had to go through hills and finally go to Mount Zion and go up Mount Zion to Jerusalem and to the tabernacle or to the temple and engage in the festival.
So they're making a pilgrimage.
Correct.
To go to one of the festivals.
Correct.
Oh, I get it. I get it now. So, and making pilgrimages, okay, so that gives me a much better picture of what these are.
Right, and they had to do this more than once a year. They would have to make their way.
Three weekly festivals a year,
Keep in mind, you know, we were in Israel in November, and we saw the different geography of Israel around the Sea of Galilee, and then to the south is desert. And the Israelites lived all around that, and they would have to go up to Mount Zion, up to Jerusalem on the top of Mount Zion to celebrate the festivals. And that's what these psalms, I can't imagine if you live far away from Jerusalem, it would be a long, long trip.
Wow.
And some of it, especially in the desert, there's no scenery. It's kind of like driving through West Texas.
Right.
There's nothing to look at. In other words, the word boring comes to mind. And so singing these songs would be at least a break in the boredom.
Right. There's no radio, no internet. No, nothing like that.
No cell phone.
Don't have an iPad to give to the kids.
No. Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're singing. Maybe you're singing your way over to pass the time.
Correct. And these songs specifically are dealing with going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals that were given in the books of Moses.
All right. Well, what's an example of that kind of song?
One of them is Psalm 121. By the way, this is one of these unique situations where all the pilgrim psalms are together.
Oh.
They're not spread out over the whole book of Psalms. They are Psalms 120 to 134. Why they are gathered together and the other categories are not, I don't know. But there's 15 of these. David wrote four of them. Solomon wrote one. And the rest of them are anonymous. So 10 of them were anonymous.
Okay. All right. Very good. So Psalm 121.
Right.
Oh, I know. I love this opening verse. This is something that I think we've sung in church before. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help.
Right. This is another one of those, I think, misunderstood verses, just like we saw in Psalm 46, I believe, you know, that it's used as a comfort. Be still and know that I'm God.
Right.
Yeah.
This is also misunderstood, in my opinion, because it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. And a lot of people understand that as looking up to Mount Zion, the source of the help for Israel.
Okay.
Some scholars take it a different way. Like I say, if you live on the flatlands, you're going to go through the hill country. You don't even see Mount Zion yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are robbers. There's all sorts of dangers along the way.
Oh, okay.
You see. And I think, this is my opinion, is when he says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, I'm looking at potential danger.
Ah, so he's not looking and saying, like I was just looking at some houses in around Boise, Idaho, and there's these magnificent vistas and great views, and it's just so beautiful. But that's not what he's. That's not what he's. He's thinking. Uh-oh, this is where the bandits live. This is the danger part.
When I get into the quote hill country,
yeah.
Before I get to Mount Zion, there's a lot of danger.
Wow.
So he's looking to the hills
and asking the question. In the New King James, it's from whence comes my help? Question mark.
Right.
Where am I going to find help?
See, to me, that's a literary thing to get your attention. Where am I going to get help?
Right.
Where? Who's going to help me? Because I know there's danger.
Yeah.
And I know that there's going to be problems. So where's my help going to come from? And that sets the stage for the rest of the psalm, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because notice he says in verse 2, he answers his own question, doesn't he? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth.
Yeah, he links the Lord with the creation.
With the creation.
He is the creator, and so he is the all-powerful
one. He is the all-powerful one. And this is one of the things about Pilgrim Psalms. If you read through these, they are fascinating. They are uplifting just to encourage you in your faith. But there's two things I want to say about Pilgrim Psalms. They are designed to inspire confidence in his people and confidence in declaring the sovereignty of God, which I think is kind of lacking in our teaching these days, and also the idea of going to God in a time of trouble. And that's, I think, the two great emphases of these pilgrim psalms. They're possibly facing danger as they want to go up, faithfully go up. They're doing what God wants them to do, and yet there's danger on the way. So what in the world is going to happen? Right. Well, I got the creator of all things on my side.
Right.
That's what he says. So if our Lord is our refuge, is there any need to fear the hills? And what could happen on the hills. See, he says, verse 2 once again, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God does not take a nap. He doesn't take a lunch break and say, I'll get back with you as soon as I can. He doesn't do that. He is 100% there all the time. You see how encouraging this is
in fact,
the face of danger?
Recently, we just read about Elijah and the prophets of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah gives them all day long from morning to evening in order to call upon their God to bring down fire on the sacrifice. And at one point, Elijah mocks them and says, maybe he's taking a nap. You know, maybe he's
right.
off on some business.
I love that, right.
And then they begin slashing themselves with swords and everything else. And when it finally comes time for Elijah to do it, he pours water all over everything, and he doesn't have to take hours and hours. The Lord just licks up all the water and burns the sacrifice.
That's okay, right. Well, I have a hard question, though, for both of you.
Oh, dear.
Is this a promise that you're never going to get robbed? Is this a promise that you're never going to be attacked?
Good point.
No, it doesn't. It's part of a plan. You know, you and I, if something bad happens to us, whether it is being robbed or we contract some disease, because that could happen on the way to Jerusalem. Or you could have an accident. Your foot slips and you fall off a cliff, you know, or something. I mean, it could be that as well. These kinds of things can and do happen to God's people. And it does make things difficult, doesn't it, for your faith?
Right. But it seems to me what you see, like...
Well, look at verse 7.
Right.
Or here, verse 3, your foot will not be moved. Verse 7, he shall preserve you from all evil. Doesn't all mean all?
Right, but this is, we're familiar with the Proverbs. Well, this is wisdom literature, right? And so this is proverbially true. Proverbially, the people of God who are walking in fellowship with him, notice verse 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. That is the nature of God taking care of his people. Now, are there exceptions? Yes, but the exceptions prove the rule. God allowed his son to die at somewhere between age 33 and 40. We're not sure exactly how old he was. He allowed the apostles to all be martyred except for John, who experienced much persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was martyred, you know, etc. And so, yeah, God has allowed persecution and suffering for his people. But that's not the normal experience.
I think what this psalm is teaching, I think there's two big points about this psalm that I really love. Number one, the psalmist says, you know, the Lord is my refuge. He's the one I go to in a time of trouble, rather than go to some other person.
Mm-hmm.
We should always go to the Lord. That's a lesson that I think, or go to some other god or goddess that you can dream up.
Right.
Like
right.
One commentator said, humans are idol factories, and we can generate an idol in a moment.
Right.
The fact that the psalmist goes to the Lord when he's facing danger, that's what you and I should do as well. I think that's extremely important. Mm-hmm. The other important thing here is in the midst of this potential problem, there is the recognition that he is sovereign. Remember what he said in verse 2? He made the heavens and the earth. That is a merism. Remember what we talked about, merism, heaven and earth?
Yeah.
Means he made everything. Implied in that is he is in control of everything. Therefore, if danger does come upon us, if sickness or injury or something does come upon us, there is a plan. The problem is I don't know what that plan is.
Right.
If I knew why, I could handle it better. But that goes back to he's God and you're not. We believe in him. You know, like I heard one of my professors say one time, make your soul rest upon that. That there is a plan. I would much prefer, if I'm going through a time of suffering, realize that I don't know why, but there is a plan, rather than believe that this is just a random incident with no, it's purposeless, meaningless. I don't find a lot of comfort there.
Right.
So we need to recognize God's absolute and gracious sovereignty in the times of trouble, but he is the place to go to, and we can be confident once again as we go through these.
So a pilgrim psalm or a psalm of ascent is a psalm of confidence.
Yes.
Where the person singing this psalm is expressing his confidence in God as the source of strength, the source of refuge, the source of deliverance.
Let me emphasize that. He's the only source of strength and of deliverance.
Amen. That's great. Well, thank you, David. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tune in tomorrow to hear all about the final psalm. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.